Well, why don't we start with John chapter 1, verses 40 to 41. Let's read these two verses in God's Word, and then we'll pray and commit our time to the Lord. The book of John chapter 1, and we've been learning about Andrew, the Apostle Andrew, and John chapter 1 is certainly one of the key verses that tell us about Andrew's wonderful example. John chapter 1, verses 40 to 41. Look with me as I read out loud. Verse 40 says, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ." Verse 42, "And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone." Well, this morning we're going to continue part two of the little series on the apostles. And we've been looking at Andrew. Last week we looked at Andrew and we were reminded that Andrew is the complete opposite to Peter. Peter was always in the forefront. Andrew was always in the background. Even here in the scriptures, we see that though Andrew was the first one to come to the Lord, and even though Andrew was the first one to bring his brother to the Lord, it was his brother that the Lord said, "Thou art Simon, but you will be called Cephas." And you see, God had a plan for Peter. God had a plan for Andrew. Despite their personalities, God had a perfect will for each one. And it's the same with you and I as Christians this morning. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. But through the lives of the apostles, we see some wonderful spiritual characteristics that God wants us to be challenged by and be encouraged with. And this morning we're looking at Andrew. Now, as we remember last week, Andrew is the least known of all the main group of the apostles. Though he was part of that main group, he was often left in the background, and he didn't mind being in the background. He didn't mind serving in the background. Why? Because he knew that little is much when God is in it. Do you remember last week we remember that Andrew saw the value of one? We aren't told much about Andrew in the Gospels, but when we see Andrew in action, he's always bringing someone to the Lord. Here in John chapter 1, he's bringing his brother Peter to the Lord. And though his brother Peter was just one person, because of Andrew's faithfulness, what happened? Peter ended up bringing multitudes to the Lord, which is amazing, isn't it? Peter ended bringing up many more to the Lord because of his faithfulness. And we learned the importance of one soul, didn't we? One soul at a time. And that's the heart of Andrew. And that should be our heart this morning. You know, seeing the importance of reaching one at a time and the value of one. You know, Andrew wasn't a big preacher. He wasn't someone who was bold and brash. He was quiet and he was content to be in the background. In fact, Peter often rushed into things, didn't he? He was brash and he was impetuous and he was foolish sometimes in what he said and clumsy and impulsive. And yet when Andrew speaks in the scripture, which isn't very often, but when he speaks in the Bible, he always says the right thing and not the wrong thing. And I wonder if that's because he stayed in the background and he learned from his brother's example of what not to say. Maybe he learned some wisdom from Peter. What do you think? You know, not to be quick to speak and to be slow to speak. And maybe he learned from his brother's example. See, it's a good thing to be in the background. You can learn from the mistakes of others. But the important thing is to be faithful. He wasn't just sitting back. He was faithfully serving in the background. And that was Andrew. Whenever we see him come to the forefront, the Bible tells us that he shines. Andrew shines in the background because he saw the importance of small things. He saw the importance of modest things. That's why we might call him this morning the Apostle of small things. That's who Andrew was. And we've got two lessons that we're going to learn this morning to help us and encourage us in our faith and to help us to become fishers of men as God has called us to be. They're in your notes, Roman numeral number 3, as we continue. Roman numeral number 3, we see that Andrew saw the value of small gifts. He saw the value of small gifts. Now, some people miss the big picture because they can't see the importance of the little things. Remember, the Lord sees everything, and nothing is insignificant in God's hands and in God's sight. Now, Andrew fits that category. He was an apostle that saw the importance of small things, and we see that in John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. Now, in Matthew chapter 14, and you can turn with me there if you like, there are a few verses in your notes to help you. Matthew chapter 14, we read the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And of course, in different accounts of the Gospels, we're given different details. Matthew chapter 14. Now, the Bible tells us as often as happened, the Lord was weary after teaching. A virtue had gone out of him. Remember, he was God in the human flesh. And he was tired. He was exhausted. And he went to a desert place to rest, and he brought his disciples with him. But so often, as it happened in the scriptures, the Bible tells us that the multitudes tracked him down. They found out where he was and they flocked around him. And there we see the Lord ministering once again. And he had compassion upon them, we read in the book of Matthew chapter 14. And then as the day went on and it was evening, it was time to eat. And verses 15 to 16 says, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food.' But Jesus said unto them, 'They need not depart. Give ye them to eat.'" So it was late in the day. It was time to eat. And Philip, the bean counter, he did some quick accounting and realized they didn't have enough money. They did have some money in their kitty, but it wasn't enough for the feeding of 5,000 people. So Philip realized they didn't have enough money to buy food. The others, disciples, were at a loss for what to do. And what was their solution in verse number 15? Get rid of the problem. Get rid of the people. If you get rid of the people, there won't be any more problems. And so that was their solution. But what was the Lord's solution in verse 16? He said, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Now, would you agree Jesus's response seems somewhat unreasonable? Okay, they don't have enough money. They're not close to any shops. They're in a desert place. What are we going to do? Lord, this is unreasonable. Now, notice what John did in the book of John, chapter number 6 and verse 9. Have a look. Remember, each of the Gospels give us different details, different points of view from the eyewitnesses. And put together, they give us a whole picture. John chapter 6 and verse 9. In verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Now understand that Andrew was the only one who didn't respond with the other apostles to say, "Just send them away." He looked around and he found a young boy. Now, this young boy had 5 barley loaves and a few fishes. And Andrew, by his own admission, knew that wouldn't be enough. But what can we see in Andrew's response this morning? We see that he still brought the lad to Jesus anyway, didn't he? He knew that the Lord wouldn't make such an impossible request without having the power to do what he'd asked them to do. So he brought the lad to the Lord anyway. He said, "Lord, this lad has some food. It's not enough, but I'm going to bring him to you anyway. Lord, let's see what you will do. Now, don't mistake what Andrew said, but what are they among so many? Yes, he's just like you and I, but he did something important. He brought the lad to the Lord. He entrusted the lad and what he had in his hands to the Lord. So Andrew did the best he could, and he brought the lad with the small lunch to the Lord. And I believe what we see in Andrew's heart is that he understood that with God, all things are possible. And even though this lad just had a small lunch, the Lord is going to do something with that little food. The Lord is going to be able to do something to fulfill his will in his power. And that is the heart of Andrew that we see throughout the scriptures. He saw the value of the little things, of small gifts. Probably Andrew's favorite Sunday song was this, "Little is much when God is in it." That's probably what his favorite Sunday school was. And we understand what happens next. Jesus took that little lunch, and what did he do? He blessed it, he broke it, and then he multiplied it. And not only that, who remembers how many baskets full were left over afterwards? There were 12 baskets full. Heaps. You can just say heaps this morning, that's fine, because I've looked it up. So heaps of basketfuls were left over. What an amazing miracle, but what an important lesson for you and I. You see, just like Andrew, we need to see the value of little things. So often we don't step out for God. We don't bring to the Lord the little we have because we think, oh, well, I don't have much to give. I'm no one special. I don't have many talents. I don't have much I can give. I don't have much experience in serving God. So I guess I'll just not only stay in the background, but I won't do anything. I won't serve God. But Andrew knew that by bringing God the little that this lad had, the Lord would take care of doing the supernatural. Would you agree? Now, that's the hard attitude God wants to get our attention about this morning. Now, the Lord continued to teach his disciples this truth in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. Now, are those verses in your notes this morning? Luke 21, 1 to 4. Notice in your notes, here's the same lesson he taught his disciples. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, these rich men were casting in large gifts. There was lots of money going in because they were rich. And notice what the Lord saw. He saw a certain poor widow casting in thither just 2 mites. And he said, "Of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury or of her lack hath cast in all the living that she had." In other words, the Lord taught that the poor person who doesn't have much, he only has a little, is giving a greater gift when they give compared to the rich who gave more out of their abundance. You see, God's value of what we give him is not determined by the size of the gift. It is determined by the sacrifice of the giver. What's the point? Little is much when God is in it. Amen. Though you may not have much to give to the Lord, if it's a sacrificial gift, God will do the supernatural and God will bless you and I. And we will see the blessings of God and the ability to be in the work of God. You see, the sacrifice of the giver, not the size of the gift, is the true measure of the gifts. Significant, but that's not how we think, is it? The bigger the gift, the bigger the value. The more I can give to God, or the more I can offer to God, that means I'll be that's the value of the gift. No, the Lord looks at the sacrifice. He looks at the heart. And Andrew somehow knew that he wasn't wasting the Lord's time when he brought that little lad. Now remember, all the other apostles were arguing. And convinced that they had to send the multitudes away. But Andrew was willing to stand out from the crowd, wasn't he?
is willing to stay in the background and say, Lord, there is someone here. And Lord, it's not much among so many. But Lord, I'm going to bring this little lad anyway. And here you go, Lord. Now it's up to you. Now you do the rest. What a wonderful lesson for you and I. Christian, do you see the value of small gifts this morning? Do you value the little things? Church family, we need more Andrews here at Coastline Baptist Church. We need more Andrews right here in this church, because little things lead to great things in God's economy. Little is much when God is in it. Now, for example, in our witnessing, let's get practical. You might say, Pastor, I don't know much. That's why I don't go out door knocking. I haven't been out before. I don't have much experience. I have no experience. I don't have much knowledge. I only have my own testimony of salvation, and I know a few Bible verses. But little is much is God, when God is in it, you see, Christian. So all you need to do is bring the little you have to God and trust Him with the rest. And this needs to be our attitude. Lord, I don't have much to offer, but I'm going to bring you what I have, and I'm going to go door knocking. I'm going to step out by faith, and I'm going to trust you to do the supernatural. Amen? That is the heart of Andrew this morning. Christian, that is the heart we need to have in witnessing. Bring the little you have to God and trust Him with the rest. Hey, by the way, He doesn't want you to trust in your own strength. He doesn't want you to trust in your own power. But you shall receive power, the Lord said. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. He wants you to rest in His supernatural power. So, Christian, what are you waiting for? Amen. Ladies go out Wednesdays. Men go out Saturdays. Let me encourage you to let me know if you want to step out by faith, to come door knocking. During your week, your weekly witnessing, you might say, I don't know what to say. What if someone asks me a difficult question? Again, little is much when God is in it. Trust God. Be like Andrew. Bring what you have to the Lord. Take a step of faith and speak the truth in love. Share the gospel. Share what you know and trust God to do the impossible. Well, that's in our witnessing, isn't it? The witnessing of Andrew. What about giving? Giving financially. Our substance. You might say, Pastor, I don't have much. Can you see what Andrew's heart is like this morning? Little is much when God is in it. If we give sacrificially, that's what makes all the difference. That's what makes all the difference. As we give as a church faithfully, whether it be to the work here in Cairns, whether it be to the work in the regions beyond through worldwide missions, whether it be to our building fund that we started last year, little is much when God is in it. You know, God is not so much concerned about His people having to give millions that they don't have. I don't have $1 million to give to the building fund. Neither do you. So what does God want us to do? Not give it all, not give anything because we don't have $1 million. Therefore, we'll never be able to afford a building. That is not how God works. He blesses the sacrificial gift of the giver, and He does the miraculous impossibly. We cannot understand what will happen. We cannot foresee what will happen. John could not see the miracle that God would do. But what God calls us is to look at our hearts this morning and say, do we believe that little is much when God is in it? Do we see the value of small sacrificial gifts? Lord, I don't have much to give, but Lord, I'll give what I have, and I will trust You to provide for my needs and for the needs of the work of God. You see, that's the heart of Andrew this morning. Notice Andrew's heart in serving as well. Remember that Andrew stayed in the background. He may have not felt that he was as courageous as Peter. No doubt he didn't. That's why maybe he brought Peter to the Lord. He said, well, maybe Peter can be used more than me, and I'll just follow Peter. Who knows what was in Andrew's heart? But the reality is that didn't stop him from serving God, did it? Andrew served the Lord in the background. By doing what? By simply offering to the Lord the little he had. And you might feel this morning, Christian, you don't have a lot to offer. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know what my spiritual gifts are. I don't know what gifts and talents that I can offer the Lord. I see other people serving in the church and I don't think I can do that. But that's the wrong attitude. You see, little is much when God is in it. We need to see the value of small, insignificant gifts, because when we bring them to God, that's when they become valuable. When we bring our little talents, when we simply say, Lord, here am I. Lord, I'm just going to serve you faithfully. That's when God says, all right, let me take what you have. And let me bless it. And by the way, that includes a little bit of breaking too, doesn't it? The Lord breaking our pride, breaking our humility, making us more humble, breaking our self-esteem so it becomes about Him, not about us. And God increasing that little gift to reveal to you what your spiritual gift is, and using you in a much greater way than you can possibly imagine. Imagine how Andrew felt after the food was multiplied. He thought, wow, praise the Lord. Look what the Lord did. Amen. Look how God blessed the little I gave him. And that lad as well, no doubt. But that's the heart of Andrew. That's the heart we need to have, church family. And let me challenge you. We need more Andrews in our church. Just like Andrew, that see the significance of little gifts. Brethren, if we saw the same thing Andrew saw, everyone in this meeting this morning, right here, that belongs to this church, would be keen to serve the Lord. By faith, knowing that the little you bring, God will bless it. So that's the heart of Andrew. Let's be encouraged this morning to be more like Andrew. God isn't expecting you to do the supernatural. He simply calls you to bring the little you have, and He will take care of the rest. Amen. Well, Andrew saw the significance of little, small gifts. Notice fourthly in your notes, on the back page, he saw the value of humble service. Now, as we conclude our lesson on the life of Andrew, it's a life that's not given much detail in the scriptures. Andrew comes to the forefront as the picture of someone who simply labored quietly in the background, in humble places, in humble service. You know, Andrew was one of those rare individuals that was happy, content to be in the background. He didn't need to be in the foreground, because he knew what he did in the background was just as important as his brother Peter, was just as important as the other disciples. He knew that his reward would be the same. He knew that little is much when God is in it. So therefore, he just served God humbly. And those are the kind of Christians we need here at Coastline Baptist Church. Just like Andrew, he didn't mind being in the background as long as the work was being done. Amen. And this is a lesson that we would do well to learn. Mark chapter 9, verse 35, the Lord said there in your notes, he called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be the last of all and servant of all. The Lord said to his disciples as he rebuked them for competing about who shall be the greatest. He said to his disciples, that's what the world thinks. In other words, that's what the Gentiles think. That's what they do. They esteem themselves greater than the other and compete for the top position. Everyone wants to be the top dog. But in my economy, as a Christian, as a believer, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all. What does the Bible say? He that humbleth himself shall be exalted in due time. We need to humble ourselves and be more like Andrew. We need to be willing to be a servant. Don't misunderstand. Being in the background doesn't mean sitting there doing nothing. I hope you understand. Andrew was a faithful servant in the background. He was faithfully serving in the background. And that is a special servant's heart. Now, as far as we know, as we wrap up this morning, Andrew never preached to multitudes in the book of Acts, did he? In fact, we never read of him in the book of Acts. As we study through, we won't read of Andrew. What happened to Andrew? He did not found a church. He never founded any churches like the Apostle Paul. He never wrote an epistle. We don't find the book of Andrew in the Bible. Can you see how Andrew faithfully served in the background? It doesn't record what happened to him after Pentecost. And whatever role he played in church history, he remained behind the scenes. Now, there are different writings that describe to us by tradition what happened to the apostles. And from what we know, tradition says that he took the gospel north, as far north that he could. An ancient church historian says that he went as far as Scythia. And that's why Andrew is the patron saint of Russia. And he's also the patron saint of Scotland. So that may be the reason. He took the gospel north and he was ultimately crucified in Achaia, which is in southern Greece near Athens. Now, one account says concerning his death that he led the wife of a Roman governor to Christ, and that infuriated her husband. Her husband demanded that his wife recant her commitment to Jesus Christ, and she refused. So the governor had Andrew crucified. By most accounts, he hung on the cross for 2 days, pleading with passers-by to turn to Christ for salvation. Now, was Andrew ripped off by the Lord? What a tragic death, you and I might say, in the flesh. But it wasn't tragic at all. Andrew did not think it was tragic, because the heart of Andrew is much different from many of our hearts this morning. He was the first one to come to the Lord. He got to sit under the very teaching and at the feet of Jesus Christ for 3 years. He was able to influence Peter, who led multitudes to the Lord. He was able to see the great miracles of God. He was able to take the gospel north, to the uttermost part of the earth. He was able to witness to souls that passed by even at his very death, if we believe traditional records. And after a lifetime in the ministry, yes, he died just like the other apostles, put to death for his faith. But like the other apostles, his name is inscribed on the foundations of the eternal city of God. His reward is no less than Peter in the foreground, or John in the foreground. No, Andrew received his reward after a lifetime of service. And he was not hard done by. He was not ripped off, to put it casually. Why? Because he had the privilege of doing what he loved the most during his earthly life, and that is introducing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, we need to keep our eyes on eternity, don't we? It's only then that we'll see that little is much as when God is in it. It's only then that we'll be content and satisfied, in fact, even excited to serve God in the background. Amen? To serve God with what little we have. You see, people like Andrew don't seek recognition. People like Andrew only want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what Andrew heard from the Lord on that day that he breathed his last breath. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Christian, what is your attitude this morning? I think we all need to have a heart more like Andrew, don't we? I think we all do. Brethren, in our church today, there are many, many areas that are left undone, that are simply not happening because we don't have enough Andrews. We don't have enough Andrews. And as a pastor, I'm content with that, because the ministry is not my job. I'm part of the work of the ministry. But if the church doesn't want to go any further than this point, I'm not going to rush ahead. We need to move forward together. Let me be honest. And if you are not willing to serve, then that's where we'll stay. Until God perhaps wakes you up and gets your attention and encourages you and rebukes you and say, "Hey, I need to be committed. I need to serve God with the little that I have. I need to be faithful." Why do we have only people who are faithful serving in regular ministries? Because they're here. Because they're here. Can I be honest? If you're not here, you can't serve God. Even if you're a member, if you're not regularly in church, if you miss church for one reason or another, then how can you be faithful in little? The Lord says, "He that is faithful in little is faithful in much." Andrew was faithful in little, and that's why God used him in much. That's a rebuke to you. Take it from the Lord and say, yes, thank you, Lord. I need to be serious about serving God. I need to be committed to the house of God. That's the ABCs of Christianity, isn't it? In the book of Acts chapter 2. You heard the message. Saved, baptized, added to the church. Amen? Membership is basic. That's basic. Andrew heard the call of salvation. He accepted the call to surrender. He followed the call to service. And ultimately, he obeyed the call to sacrifice. You see, if you want to serve God, even in the background, then perhaps you need to make a decision this morning. Maybe it's to become a member of Coastline Baptist Church. Just the simple basic step of being baptized and becoming a member, perhaps. Maybe it's just a commitment now to be in the house of God every time the doors are open. That's just God's basic expectation. It's not my expectation. God says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. If you forsake the assembly, then God says you don't have the right to serve. You cannot have that privilege if you forsake the assembly. That's God's basic expectations. But don't get me wrong, that's something we can all do. That's just something little. Bring your little to the Lord and He will bless it. Amen? He will multiply it. He will increase it. But we have to take a step of faith like Andrew to say, yes, Lord. Yes. I'm in your hands. I surrender, Lord, to you. Christian, what has God already given you that you are not using yet? Amen? I say yet. Because this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement. Amen. What has God given to you that you are not using yet? The little that you have, the little that you know, the little spiritual kindling of a gift that's in you that you have not found out yet, that God wants to reveal in due time. Friend, if you need to make a decision, find me after the service. Love to encourage you to be like Andrew, to make a decision for the Lord this morning. Well, Andrew's legacy is the example that shows us effective ministry is often in the little things. Effective ministry is often in the little things. Just being faithful, ladies, to share the responsibility of cleaning the toilets. Amen? Just serving in the background. Let me put that one out there. Let me encourage you to be faithful in just taking some invitations and say, well, it's only one I've given out today. Praise God for that one invitation. Be faithful in the little things. And God will increase and bless your service. The value of one soul, the value of serving in the background, the value of small gifts, the value of humble servants, service. Why does God delight to use small, insignificant things? Well, let's close there in your notes with 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But God hath chosen the what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's you and I, my friends. God hath chosen the what? The weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, which God hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Amen? God delights to use the little things. Are you willing to put your life in the hands of the Lord as a Christian? Say, Lord, I'm going to step out, give you the little that I have, and know that God hath chosen the little things to confound the wise and to do the impossible.